Warning, this podcast will rocket you into the knowledge and wisdom intended to inspire, influence, and impact you to lead a Christian Rocketeers organization. Let's honor the sacrifice Christ the Son died to give you by leading the life and nonprofit God has called you to well. God is doing great and amazing things in the heavens and on earth. Let's tap into his wisdom and reach for the stars together.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Christian Rocketeers podcast, where we impart, inspire, influence, and impact your Christian nonprofit to skyrocket to the next level. I am so excited for today's episode. You are going to want to grab your notebook and get ready, because if you have ever faced spiritual attack as a nonprofit leader, and I don't know about you, but I've gone through it, you need tools in your toolbox to know how to fight the fiery darts of the enemy. And my guest host today is a friend of mine who knows how to do just that. Amy is a Christian faith advisor coach. She helps her clients reclaim their hope, their joy, and their peace while increasing their faith through hardships and spiritual warfare. She is a wife and a mom to a large family. I'll let her tell you more about that in a bit. And I can't wait for this chat. So grab your notebook, grab your coffee, or whatever beverage of choice, and let's dive into today's chat.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on here. Thank you for inviting me to speak. I pray that the Holy Spirit is just gonna come right through this and that he speaks through me. One of my biggest prayers as a Christian faith advisor and coach in my own life is that it is none of me and all of him, because God is our life source. He gives us the strength, he gives us truth, he gives us wisdom. And so he is our life source, and we want that in our personal lives, in our businesses. We want it to be all him and none of us.
Yeah. And that's what I love. I love your heart so much. And that was one of the reasons why I have invited you here today. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about you and your family? And you and I have a lot of similarities, so let's dive into that.
So I am married. We will have been married for almost 13 years in May. We've had our struggles in our marriage, but we are happily married. And Christ is at the center of that. We have a combined family. And so together we have 6 kids. 2 of the little ones are still in the house. The others are adults now and living their own lives. As a Christian faith advisor and coach, my mission, my mandate is to help you right in the middle of a hardship or spiritual battle to reclaim your hope, to reclaim your joy, and to reclaim true inner peace that Christ gives right in the middle of that, so that you're standing strong and persevering and enduring the storm with victory.
Yeah, not letting the enemy, you know, rattle that sail, because it's like Jesus in the boat. The storm was around him, but it wasn't in him. He just stood up and said, "Peace, be still." And yes. I think that's one thing that we forget. The storm is around us, but it's not in us, because we have the Holy Spirit. So the storm, you know, whatever that may be, is around you, but don't let it overtake you. That's so, so good. So where did the inspiration for you to start this journey? I know you shifted a bit in where God called you to. So where did the inspiration to get on this journey of helping particularly women get victory in their lives through this advisory?
Yeah, so I definitely shifted 100%. So I pivoted 100%. And it's actually something that God has asked me to do, or was inspiring me to do, for quite a while. And in some ways, I kind of hid from that. But I think overall, you know, over time, there's been some preparation in this. Mm-hmm. But what inspired me is my own life and my own faith and the struggles that I've gone through. I mean, I have been tested and attacked, and testing and attacks can be the same and different at the same time. So, you know, God allows us to be tested. He allows us our faith to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
But you can bet when that test comes, the enemy is going to try to get you out of character. The enemy is going to try to get you off your game.
No, he's going to try and remind you of just what is going on around you and not the faithfulness of God. For me, when
absolutely
you go through an attack, you've got to keep your notebook next to you of the reminder of the faithfulness of God, because you got to pull it out and go, okay, here's my gratitude journal.
Yeah.
I'm over here.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've been, like you were saying, you've been attacked in your marriage. You've been attacked with your children.
Yes, in my health. And so I've been.
She needs to go a little bit more in depth on that one.
Yeah, maybe. So in my health, many people know that I almost died last January. And it really was the turning point for my pivot. Because we only have today to speak into the lives of others. And we only have today to help other people. And that's really what is at the heart and center of being victorious and making it through these challenges and these tests that come and the attacks that come. It is to build us up, not pop us up. That's a whole different story. But it is to build us up, so that we are able to give back to someone else who is going through. And so all last year that weighed heavily on my heart, because I've been through so much. I've almost divorced my husband. My kids have their own struggles, which has affected my mindset as a mom. I've been attacked in that way. My finances have been attacked. All of those things. And so we only have today. When you're in that place where the battle is all around you, because it's, Shawnee is correct. The storm is all around you. But the attack is in you. The attack is in your mind, which is your heart, your soul, your emotions, your attitudes, and your character, the way that you live, the way you behave.
We have an exercise that we do at Christian Marketeers with our nonprofit leaders of release and embrace. So we'll ask them, what are you releasing and what are you embracing? So some of them will say, well, I'm letting go of fear and embracing faith. And you got to dive deep there, because there's a lot of things we need to release and embrace. You don't need to pick every single one, but you do need to focus. Every day you need to get up and say, okay, God, I'm releasing, you know, the anxiety, and I'm embracing your peace. I'm releasing pride and I'm embracing, you know, you just got to go through it. And when you go through that as a leader, that changes and shapes so much, because you take it to scripture. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree that you take it to scripture. You know, God's word is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, God's word is truth. And that truth is alive and active. So what does that actually mean? What does it mean that it's alive and active? Well, God's word is able to see deep, way deep inside of us. And in our hearts, it's able to show us who we are in human nature, and able to show us who God called us to be. And we have to be very careful. So it's so important to read, study, and know the word of God, so that you can discern between what is a lie and what is true, because that is one of the ways the enemy attacks our minds, is he likes to fill us with lies. And it doesn't come in such a blatant way. It doesn't come where he's going to say, you're not good enough, or you're not going to make it through this. No. He speaks in first person to you as if he was you, and he whispers it in your ear. I'm not good enough. I won't make it through this. I can't do this. And so we have to be able to discern our thoughts, and we can only do that by the word of God.
Yeah, and especially when you take that step of faith and you have your nonprofit. I have found when you've been called to bigger, like when you're ready for expansion, Carrie and I have faced huge attacks in that. Like when we knew we were building the third floor, we had attacks come. Every time we do a conference, attacks come. I've even had people put notes in my mailbox when we've done a conference. I'm like, I didn't know you. Like, why are you coming to my house and putting that there? Like, what's going on here? But you have to recognize it as it's an attack. It's the enemy's attempt to steal your joy, to remind you and go back to, okay, I can't do this. You know, so-and-so is doing this better than I am. Let's let them do it. It's the mindset that needs to shift the most, because you are equipped. He tells you in his word, he's equipped you already for what he's called you to do. That's laid out. You have to walk in it. And that means walking Absolutely. With him. That means that relationship with God is key. As a large family mom, how do you find time? I get this question a lot. To be in the word.
Well, you make time. So there's times that I get up early before everyone else to really just sit with God and to be in his word. And there's times that I wait until everybody leaves the house. So, you know, I wouldn't say you want to have intentional time with God, but don't be legalistic with it.
Yeah.
God is first in my life. His word is first in my life. And so I have those intentional times set in place. So it's either before everybody gets up, but a lot of times we're doing things, our lives are busy. And so I will wait during the weekday for everybody to leave. Then I don't have to worry about anybody getting up and disturbing that time. I'm a little like holding tight to my time with God. Like when I enter God's presence, that is where I want to be, and I don't want to interrupt. So that's how I find time. That's how I make time.
That's good. And for me, my time is usually in the morning when the kids are off to school, and I will sometimes have my three-year-old sit next to me, and she'll sit there as I've got my Bible and my journaling. And she knows, she told me the one day, she goes, Mommy, you need your Bible. Your attitude's not good.
There's been times where my daughter, she is about to be 11, and there are times that she has called me out on some things. And you know, that never feels good, but God uses little children too.
I laughed. I was like, okay. And then I was amazed that she knew. I mean, she had been watching me. She knew what my Bible was. She knew where to go get it from. She brought it to me. Mommy, you need this, you know, and she knows. And so I just thought that was a years ago, I'd been offended by that. Like, you know, oh, you're coming to me. And I was like, no, okay, here it is. Let's sit. Let's read. And it was so good. It's some of the best time. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back with more from Amy. And you're going to learn here in this clip a little bit more about the work that we do at Mercy's Light Family. Stay tuned.
Why become a sponsor at Mercy's Light Family? Sponsors at Mercy's Light Family are ending sex trafficking. They are healing girls physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially to put them back on their feet in just 3 short years for themselves and their babies to be self-sustaining. That's what you get at Mercy's Light Family Sponsorship. In addition to that, you get a prayer card with the story of your girl or your baby so you can pray over them. You get behind the scenes access to be able to see day-to-day life in Kenya and what life is like for the girls at the house and how they're developing. You get that and so much more. Join us in sponsorship today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Christian Racketeers podcast, where we impart, inspire, influence, and impact your Christian nonprofit to skyrocket to the next level. If you just tuned in, I am with my co-host for the day, Amy Ray, and we are talking about how to deal with the fiery darts of the enemy and spiritual attack as a nonprofit leader. So, Amy, tell me, what's been your biggest struggle, biggest attack? I know one would be your health for sure. But how did you pull through that time?
So I had a huge, huge support system. And my husband was my biggest support because I was unable to do things for myself and or for the house. And he took over on that. So for my health, and this is relatable. This is what I wanted to share today. And this is relatable. So one of my biggest personal struggles in life is one of the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. And so I struggle with food addiction, and it opens a doorway for the enemy to be able to attack me, to attack my mindset about me, to attack my health, and leave me very vulnerable. You know, not everything is the enemy. I want to make that very, very clear. Not everything is the enemy, but there are things that can open the doorway for him. I really struggled with whether or not I was a good enough Christian because I have this food addiction that I'm addicted to sugar. And why is it that I can't put it down? You know, why isn't God just opening up the gates of heaven and taking this away from me? This is,
I think about Paul, yeah, with the thorn in his side. He had his own struggle. So give yourself grace there.
Absolutely.
Because Paul had his own struggle. We each have our own struggle. I mean, the enemy knows where he can get to us to throw us off our game, because if we're off our game as kingdom leaders, we're not doing the work that God has called us to do. So lives aren't being saved and transformed by the power of the gospel because we're stuck in our own stuff. If we're right, stuck in our own stuff, we're not sharing the light of Christ because we're like, poor me, you know.
Exactly.
And I have been there. I have been there. In fact, many times I have been there. Can resonate with the fact that you said you didn't feel like you were a good enough Christian. And I grew up in a very, I want to say, a little bit of a legalism background, that I knew the judgment of God and I knew God was just, and I could tell you God was just. And my mom used to tell me, God's going to strike you with a lightning bolt if you get out of line. So I always wanted to walk the line with God because I didn't want him to strike me with no lightning bolt.
Right, right, right. You know, we forget that his grace is sufficient.
Yeah, he's got grace, his love. We did a study on Hosea and God's love, and that just really, really changed things for me. And just seeing how much God loves us. It's so vast. It's so deep. And I think it goes to, we need to rest in his love for us.
Absolutely.
In the abundance of his love for us. So what has helped you the most in that struggle? Because I know you've made great. I mean, you are amazing. You have made tremendous progress. And
yeah,
let's think about that.
So for me, it does come down to resting in God and knowing that I can't do anything apart from him. This is not something that I'm able to develop on my own. This is something that I have to give to God completely. And you know, that is one of the things that I have been praying is, God, I cannot do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I need you. I need you to help me.
And he does. Yeah.
And he does. And he has surrounded me with community that is, mm-hmm, supportive. And that piece right there, God is going to place people into your life that is going to help you through the struggle.
Yeah.
And we don't do this alone.
And I think one of the things in that community is be vulnerable with those people. You know, if they're safe people and you know they're safe people, let them know you're struggling. Because you know what? They are too. One of the things I love about when we wrote the I'm an F in Christ book with a community of our speakers was everybody was real. This is what you got on the stage. You don't got these Christians that got it all together and are, you know, right, have this pristine lifestyle. Life is messy and people are people. I love that my pastor in Arizona used to say, no perfect people allowed. And at first I was kind of, I'm like, what does this mean? And you know, it just means if you're there and you think you're perfect, you probably don't know how to realize that you've got your own junk, like somewhere in your closet, you've got something you need to work on. So like, get over the pride.
One of the, hang on, I'm going to make sure that I have the verse right here. But one of our verses in our church that we hold on to tightly, we have two that we actually hold on to. But this one is Proverbs 12:1, and it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. And so my pastor is always showing us our stupid side. But
that's good though.
And so we know in our church that none of us are perfect. All of us are flawed. And that that is the beauty of God's grace, is that we are flawed, yet he gives us grace freely.
Yeah. And I think if more people would learn that, you know, and that vulnerability in community, the world would be a much better place, because we wouldn't be so focused on us and our inner selves and all this. Us. It's looking to him. It's looking to his character. It's learning who he is. You know, learn the character of God. Learn the names that God had. That really changed me too. Another study we did was the names of God. Like, you know, Yahweh, and how he's Jehovah Jireh, my healer, and I can't go through all of them because I don't have them in front of me. But like, if I had them on my desk,
I get that. I'm a note taker, so I get that.
But I mean, it's funny because when you need them, they'll come to mind. So that's the good thing. But like, it's knowing that. It's knowing the character of God. He's a loving father. He wants to sit you on his lap. And he does. He picks you up. He sits you on his knee, just like the little picture of Jesus and the little children. He takes you personally, sits you on his knee, and just speaks over you. Have you had a moment where God's done that for you?
Yes.
And how did that change where you were at in that moment with your emotions?
So it's actually been very recent. It's been a very challenging time with one of my sons who battles with mental health. And I have had to work through thoughts because his battle with mental health also attacked me. And I want to give my family some privacy, so I won't go into detail exactly about what happened, but I had to work through the thoughts of, I'm not a good mom. I didn't raise him right. I made the wrong choices as he was growing up. I didn't pray over him hard enough. What he does is all my fault and a reflection of me. What will people think of me or my family? And again, community is such a huge part of spiritual growth and protection.
How did community help you in that? Because I know community had a huge part of pulling you through that that time.
God used the people in my life. He used them to speak to me, to help me understand that as a mom with adult children, we pray for them, but we can't, we don't create their actions.
No.
And we can't write their story. And that was the really challenging part for me, is because knowing that my son battles with mental health, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to write his story. I wanted to put him back in this place that I know that he's supposed to be.
Yeah, you wanted to rescue him because he's your child.
I did.
You wanted to, yeah. And the thing is the hardest thing to learn as a parent is often we have to let go. And yes. I have struggled with all of those things with my kids, because when we have geared up towards something really amazing, it's all of a sudden the attacks are on my family. And I've got the calls from the school about your child said this. And I'm like, I didn't teach him to say that.
Right. I had to, but it goes back to, I had to learn to take my eyes off of me.
Yeah.
Because in all of those things that I mentioned, it's very selfish. It's very me thinking. And that is one of the attacks that the enemy uses. He wants us to think only about ourselves and not anything else. And so I had to learn how to take, in that moment, how to take my eyes off of me. I knew this. In that moment, I had to learn to let go and let God. I knew that's what I should be doing. I had to learn to pray hard prayers. Whatever it takes, let your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two of the hardest prayers we can pray, because it releases our control. I had to overcome, and I still have to overcome each day, self-condemnation. I have to allow myself to move into God's presence, to take my eyes off of me, knowing that it's not about me. It's about God. God's going to get the glory here. But I can't write the story that God is going to write, has written for my son. I have to trust in the fact that I know God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Train them up in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. Has he strayed? Yes, my son is strayed. But I know that I've instilled the word of God into him. I know that I've instilled Christian values into him. God is going to bring him back to the faith. I know that he's going to rise up and be a man of God. I stand on that.
Yeah, and he'll be able to, through his story, help others with mental health issues. So he has a bigger story for him. And it's just standing on those promises that you know he has for him and for your family is right. So vital and so key. And so I know that we're going to have a victory story for him.
Yes.
And that God's going to work it together for good.
Yes. You want to keep your hope.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep your hope. And hope is, when it's translated into Hebrew or Greek word, I'm not exactly sure what that word is, but it's translated as waiting. It's not something that you've seen yet. So it doesn't matter what you see all around you. When you're in the battle, when you're in the storm, you know, we like to see what we can see. But I want to encourage you to learn to see beyond what you can see.
Yeah, I think of one of our nonprofit leaders. So she had a point in time where everything was coming against her, and she was ready to shut down her mission. Like, she came to us and she's like, I'm done. I'm throwing my hands up. Everything's coming again. And she had everything, every evil attack was coming against her. People coming in, trying to take away things from her mission and everything. And God just told her, you know, to come to us. And she, you know, came to community with us. She was one of our students at the time, but come more in community with us. We were able to speak over her, pray with her, tell her to get in the word, let God speak to her. And today she is in a different part of that area, of that region, and she's building a brand new center that is going to serve even more children and families. And these are children who are orphans. I cannot imagine. I see the pictures of these kids and I weep, because they have maybe a shirt on and no bottoms, and they're running around and they have no mommy or no daddy to take care of them. And they're like Peyton's age running around, and I'm just like, God, I can't handle this. Like, it's too much. And it's just, it moves my heart so much with the work that she does. And she works in an area with witchcraft, where they will actually like sacrifice kids.
Oh.
Oh yeah. It's and it's so much. But what I love about her and her story was because she was able to come in community and get in the word and tell us to pray for her. And then God gave us words to speak over her. The mission's even greater now. Like it's expanding at exponential rates. And he brought her someone to come alongside her that is in that community, that knows the community, that actually knows how to speak to these people, which, you know, he speaks the language and they are doing more Bible studies and feeding more people. And so that's where community is key.
Yes.
We're the body of Christ for a reason.
Yes. Yes. And we are to encourage and build each other up in the faith. God knew that we were going to struggle.
Yeah. Well, the disciples struggled. I mean, Peter denied him three times. He struggled.
I know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He struggled.
You know, this idea that we have as Christians as, oh, you're a believer. Okay, now you're perfect. You know, okay, go around, be Susie Sunshine. It's so unrealistic. It's pride, really, because it's like with pride, you look at yourself and you don't look at Christ. So you're too busy going over here. Well, I have it all together and that person doesn't. Look at them and da, da, da. And you're judging and you're not being who God has called you to be. Instead, you know, you don't know their story. You don't know where God is leading them. And I mean, it's amazing for me to have the body of Christ to come together alongside. I love coming alongside our clients. I love praying for our clients. I love I love our friendship of, you know, you encouraging me and me encouraging you and what God has done in that. So, I mean, I encourage you, if you're listening, be in community. You're not meant to be alone. God gave Adam Eve. He didn't want Adam to be alone. Adam had God in the garden. You know, God knew that Adam needed community. I just say, be in community. And whether that community is Christian Marketeers or you join Amen, if you're not a Christian nonprofit leader, head over and check out her Facebook and get in community over there. But be in community because it's vital. All right, guys, we're going to take one quick short break. We're going to tell you about what we do here at Christian Marketeers, and we'll be right back with more from my friend Abe.
I left my legal career to pursue a higher calling. What changes are you willing to make? My name is Carrie Reichartz, and I'm a Rising Star Lawyer by the Milwaukee Magazine, and I left my rising legal career to make a difference in the world of girls in Kenya. The women I met forever changed my life. I returned to my job and I realized it no longer served me. I knew he had something bigger in store for me. I was called to serve others. So I left my law to begin my own business. I founded two nonprofits, Operation Give Hope and Infinitely More Life. I also began teaching women who are overwhelmed when trying to start and grow their nonprofit.
My first nonprofit, Operation Give Hope, tackles systematic spiritual, emotional, and financial poverty afflicting young mothers in Mombasa, Kenya, and helps sex trafficking victims heal. My second nonprofit, Infinitely More Life, operates globally and helps people recognize and reconcile life traumas by working with Christ. I have assisted hundreds in starting their own domestic and international nonprofits.
Are you ready to leave behind the fear and doubt holding you back from starting the nonprofit God has called you to? Join the 8-week Christian Rocketeer Nonprofit Startup Certification. Remember, you are not leaving a career or a comfortable life. You are gaining purpose, passion, mission, and you will be changing the world. Join us today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Christian Rocketeers podcast. We have been talking a lot about dealing with spiritual attack, and we are just so amazed at what God has done through this episode. So we encourage you to go back and listen and take some notes. All right. Amy, let's get to the heart of this. So your favorite verse to go to when you're attacked by the enemy?
It is Proverbs 3:5-6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We're not going to understand everything that comes our way. And in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. I don't understand all the stuff that happens in my life. I don't. There's plenty of times I'm like, God, huh? What's going on here? But I know that as I lean into God and trust him, even with those things that I don't understand, God is going to carry me through that.
He will. He will. And another part of that is remembering the faithfulness of God and that trust and keeping that in front of you, remembering that his character is unchanging. One of the things I love about God is his character. He's unchanging. Yes. He's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So he doesn't change. He doesn't shift like we do. Like, we can shift in our opinion over and over again and we can waffle, but God doesn't waffle. He's not on the... He's just calmly sitting in the boat with you, ready to help you through whatever you need to go through. And that's what you have to remember is God is faithful. He's faithful in every season, every season. And in looking at his faithfulness throughout your life, you'll know more of God's character because you'll see what he did before. So he's going to do it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree that it is so important to remember what God has already done in your life. Where did he take you from? When you learned about the love and the forgiveness of Christ, what condition was your life in? What did he pull you out of? When your finances weren't quite right and you felt like you weren't going to be able to pay your bill or buy that week's worth of groceries, yet you did. God made a way. Remember those things. Mm-hmm. Remember when you prayed for somebody for the Lord to save and he did it. When you prayed for help and he sent somebody your way to help you in whatever area it was, God did it and he'll do it again.
I'll do it again. Definitely. All right. Final thoughts. Biggest advice you would give to someone facing a spiritual battle right now?
So there are, when it comes to spiritual warfare, I want you to remember that God's given us all that we need and he has a specific plan and it's located right in the Bible. He tells you, he's given it to you and it's in Ephesians 6:10-18. I encourage you to read that, to study it and understand it, because we have to understand that there are unseen forces willing to attack our hearts and our minds. They're evil, and that's what they are sent to do. They have a mission. That's why it's so important to read, study, and know God's word, because then you can discern what is true and what isn't in your own mind. I want to encourage you to have honest conversations with God. You can tell God anything, anything. He'll listen. You can tell him how you feel, how frustrated you are, how angry you are, or how hurt you are. Be honest with God. If you're angry with him, tell him. If you don't understand something, tell him. If you have a question, ask him and trust him enough to ask him to help you through it. And don't resist the leading of the Holy Spirit when you feel those little nudges. And surround yourself with people in the faith who might have gone through something similar or who might have gone through their own struggles, but they know the battle. They understand the battle and how it feels and how it works and how they've made it through different things. We have a motto in our church, walk with the wise and become wise. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to leave you with that.
That's so key. Walk with the wise and become wise. And often that looks like, you know, getting a coach, getting in community, and knowing that you're not meant to do this alone. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today. Thank you for your time. Why don't we talk about where can people connect with you at?
I have a free community called Victorious Sisters in Christ, and I'm just now getting it started. And so starting this Friday and every other Friday after, we're going to have what is called a Sisters Faith Life Chat. And it is going to be done via live in that group only. We're going to talk about real life topic, real problems that affect us. It's meant to be a conversation. And so not just me talking at you, but us talking together. And we're going to go through that. We're going to talk about how our faith can help us through those things. So I invite you to come and join us there. It is a Facebook community. Come and join us. I do ask that you answer 3 entry questions to be approved for membership. And that is it.
That's awesome. So we'll have that link in the show notes below. And I want to touch back on one more thing. With the the verses that you covered from Ephesians 6, we did a whole conference on that a few years ago, and I'll link that in the show notes below where you guys can go back and watch. It was the conference we did before COVID hit. God had prepared us in advance for what was ahead as we did a whole year study on victory. Whole year. Had us take a whole year as a team and study Titus 2. And we were ready for what the enemy threw at us. And the conference was amazing. There's amazing speakers. They talk about the parts of the armor of God. They talk about, you know, yes, you've got victory in Christ. It is so empowering and so uplifting. So I encourage you to listen to that if you need some encouragement today. We are so thankful for you. And we will see you all again next time on the Christian Marketeers Podcast.